Welcome back to Creative Vibes with me, your host, Kevin Jackson. So, what are we talking about today? Today, we're going to talk about how to deal with difficult clients. So, this is part one of a part two thing. First one is going to be how to deal with difficult clients. The second one is going to be about how clients can deal with difficult creatives. Because, yes, creatives, we need little drape up too. There's some slackness, we see. Us as creatives keep up that we really need to stop doing, but I will leave that for part two. So on to part one, we're talking about how creatives can deal with difficult clients. Now, disclaimer, I'm not target every client, because I can admit I have had some good clients over the years. In fact, my first clients, Jamaica Environment Trust, big up on herself, they have always been good clients to me, right? Any difficulty we have is just difficulty fleshing out the concept, right? Or difficulty over some creative differences. Other than that, it has always been smooth sailing for the most part. I won't say every single time, but as far as clients go, smooth sailing. I have, however, had some clients who shall remain nameless, to protect them, and of course protect me from getting blacklisted. They have been a pain in the, you know what, right? And I'm going to talk about the different things that clients do that really annoy us. And I'm going to start with first the approach. There are times when you get approached by a client and the clients make their project seem like the biggest thing in the world. Right, this thing is going to change Jamaica. This thing is going to do all kind of things. And hold on, let me see. Let me see a bridging. So I'm going to just give him a quick heal. Yeah, man, this podcast is just being done out in a random wilderness. A joke, I'm in a parking lot. But let me heal him same way. Hold on. Kemar, where are you going? You teach class? You teaching class? All right, cool. Yeah, man. Yes, people, this podcast is done out in the wilderness, you know, so we're going to see people. And I'm not going to try to pretty up the podcast. The last, you know, other seasons, I'm going to pretty up the podcast. I'm not pretty up this time. All right, I'm just going to talk it as is. Anyway, so the approach, right? They come to you and approach you with this thing that is supposed to be like the biggest thing in the world, and they need to go now, and yeah, man, you know, we have to get this done ASAP, blah, 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 you know, and then they want to rush. That's a red flag. Anytime a client wants to rush, that's a red flag. They need it done by tomorrow, red flag. They need it done by Monday, red flag, right? If them say 2 weeks, it's not so much of a red flag. That's sort of ignorance. Right, and nothing wrong with ignorance, they're not a part of your field, right? So because they're not a part of your field, sometimes you have to sue with them, right? And explain to them. But a lot of times these people come with this larger than life attitude, and here's why I don't like the larger than life attitude. They put all this urgency on the project, and then in no time, them turn around and you can't hear from them. All of a sudden the project not urgent again, right? They rush you for try to get you for do something, you know. But then all of a sudden, the project not urgent again. Right? That energy gone. They not have the same energy again. And I dislike that, because when you get us creatives worked up, you know, when you start discuss ideas with us, you know, our brain start ticking. Right? And if you make all a doctor or a lawyer brain start ticking, you know, the money start ticking too. We can tell you that. Right, so you can't make a creative mind start ticking, because they're actually doing work in their mind, right? Anyway, next up, next thing that the clients will annoy me with, sometimes the clients will make themselves seem bigger than they are. They start name dropping. Oh, you know, I manage this person and that person, you know, and you know this, and then they use this bad word. Creatives, don't get triggered, don't get offended. You know which word to come in. It's the E word. Exposure. Yeah, man. Yes, this will be great exposure for you. Great exposure for who? Yo, I remember one time somebody tell me that, you know, and this is me, you know, not even boasting, but I've done several animated commercials. I've done a lot of video productions. And then the people going to say, oh yeah, you know, this is going to be exposure for you. You know, people going to get to know you. I'm like, I don't even know who you are. So how are you going to make people know me? Right? Like, come on, guys. Like, I can't go to the doctor and say, hey, come cure my cancer. This would be great exposure for you. Yeah, man. Everybody going to know you. Nobody don't know me. So when I get saved from cancer, how that I go help the doctor? You understand what I'm saying? But they're not looking at that. They're not looking at it that way, because nobody views creatives like they do doctors, right? Nobody. And you know, the reason being is simple. Creativity, nobody realizes they need creativity, because nobody's going to die immediately without creativity. You might die if you don't see the doctor, right? You might lose your house if you don't see the lawyer. But, you know, if you're carrying a look good, you still can get from point A to point B. Right? Even though we love a good looking car. We don't want to purchase a car that don't look good. You know, people will still come to your party if they really, 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 really love you and you make a lot of effort. But it would still be nice to have a flyer for your party. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing in life that is not designed by a creative. But we just have this view that, oh, you know, it's not that important. So that's how we're viewed. Another thing now is when your clients approach you with a half-baked idea. They've not fully cooked the idea yet. They just come to you, they want to hire you. And then when you're trying to get some details from them, they don't have the details. Right? They just know, oh, I want an animated commercial to raise awareness about kidney disease. All right, cool. What's the concept you have in mind? Oh, well, we don't have a concept. You're the creative, so we just figure, say, you would be the one to come up with the concept. And you're like, hold on there. All right, I don't really saw this thing work. Right? I know saw this thing work, but we could be creative. We could be the ones that do the creative side of things if you're going to pay us for that separately. But we're going to now need more time. You know, we can't do this thing by tomorrow. We can't do this thing in 2 weeks if we have to come up with the creative part of it. But even when it comes to the creative part of it, yo, that is a hit and miss. Because remember, your client is the expert in the topic that they want you to make an animated commercial for, video production for, or, you know, comic book for, whatever the case is. They're the subject matter expert, not you. So it's not going to be easy for you to write a script without a lot of research and consultation. I've been there, people asking me to do stories about, gender-based violence, right? Human trafficking. And you say, okay, but what exactly you want us to talk about? And they say, human trafficking, you know, you don't know human trafficking. You say, yeah, I do. I'm aware of what human trafficking is. However, I'm also aware that there are different forms of human trafficking, of which I'm not aware of all of them. And they say, no, man, you can write the script them and show us, and then we'll make adjustments. And you go through the effort of writing the script, and then they come and they say, no, you see, and you never captured this type of human trafficking and that type of human trafficking. And it's like, You know, it would have been nice if you had provided this list to begin with, you know, and even just describing some of them. So that's another thing with clients, you know, that when they're approaching you, they don't fully prepare. They literally feel like you have all the answers. And that's not the situation. You can't go to the doctor and say, doctor, I'm sick, fix me. You know, doctor, my foot hurt me, fix me. That's not how it works. Right? You're going to have to tell the doctor what symptoms you're having. When did this occur? Did you hit anything? Did something stick you? Did it drop? The doctor has to do all kind of things to narrow it down. It can't just be, doctor, my foot sick. Yeah, the doctor, so you must can just figure it out. Nope, doesn't work like that. Ask any doctor. It does not work like that. Same thing with us as creatives. You can't just come with an idea that is half-baked and say, hey, you're the creative, figure it out. No, you're the subject matter expert. You know why you called me. Give me some clues as to what you want, right? So my advice to clients is to supply us with enough information, supply us with a script, supply us with a storyboard, right? If you want us to come up with a script, then we have to discuss it, and it can't be done in just 2 weeks. So my advice to creatives is, when you're dealing with your client, I know you don't want to have to explain the process of how you work or how animation works or how film production works, but you have to. You know, if your client doesn't know, they don't know. So take time with them and explain it to them. And at the same time, walk them through the steps. Say to them, say, listen, I'll write the script for you, but bear in mind, I'm not a subject matter expert. So I'm going to be asking quite a lot of questions. And I recommend that this process lasts for a week to 2 weeks. I know you want to get the project done in 2 weeks, but so that we can do this properly, let's take the time to do it properly. Some of them may, you know, him and her and said that can't work for them. My advice to you is to walk away. There's nothing wrong with walking away. Not every client is your client. We as creatives feel like, oh, from somebody come to us with a job, we have to take the job, right? Because jobs are far and few between in the creative world. But you don't have to, believe me. And sometimes it works out for the better, even if you're starving. Why? Because sometimes that job don't pay enough for the stress. And sometimes that job is just endless for the little bit of money. And you don't have the room to take on any other jobs. A higher paying job might come along and you can't take it on because you're stuck on this job. Right? So take the time to prepare with the client. Let the client know, say, look, this is going to take longer than you want. Here's why. Let's work on doing this properly. The other thing that I can't deal with is the client who is indecisive or don't know what they want. This is very, very common, right? And here's what we mean by indecisive and don't know what they want. I've had a client ask me for something, right? And then in 2 days, change their mind completely. And then in 2 days more, change their mind again. And then in 2 days more, they go back to the original idea. That not only does that frustrate the creative, but each time you change your mind, the creative has to do work. Work they're not being paid for. We're not like Netflix, right? It's not a subscription. Don't get me wrong. There are cases where you can have an animator on retainer, but even then there are limitations. Nobody's going to animate for you endlessly for a flat amount of money, because animation takes a lot of dedication, a lot of energy, lots of effort, right? But yeah, you can't have people working indefinitely and things. So what I advise my clients to do is have your discussions amongst your team, even have your discussions with the vendor, you know, and say, hey, this is what I have in mind. What do you think? You know, do you think there's any other direction we could go? Is this the right direction? And make up your mind before you go to the creative and tell the creative, do this, right? It not only will it not frustrate your creative, but it will not frustrate you. It will frustrate you less if you can just get it right the first time. No, so don't we all want to get it right the first time? The only way to get it right the first time is to measure twice, right? Measure twice, cut once. Anybody ever hear that saying? Anyway, so I would say, like with the clients, with the creative, you know, one, in your contract, make it very clear that you only allow for 3 adjustments. Me, I personally allow 3 adjustments for each stage. So let's say there's a script writing stage, a storyboarding stage, the animation stage, and then the video edit stage, post-production. I will allow 3 changes per stage. And I'll tell you why. I just think it's fair, because when we're writing a script, you might say, you know, I want to change this or I want to change that. And me personally, I want to make sure you get what you want. So I'll give you 3 changes. After we change the script the third time, I'm going to be like, all right, you're going to have to pay some extra money because we're not getting anywhere, right? How do you avoid this, clients? How do you avoid this? Because you might have more changes. So how do you avoid this? Very simple. When you're given a deliverable, say a script, scrutinize that script, go to your team members, ask your team members, do you think this works? Even act it out. Yes, I know it feels silly. You're in corporate Jamaica. You don't want to act silly. But trust me, act it out and then see how you feel about it. Make all your notes. all your notes. Don't send me notes from Mrs. Jones and then 2 days later send notes from Mr. Heslop, and then another day later you send notes from Christopher. Don't do that. Because when we see the first set of notes, in our mind, okay, these are the changes. And we start those changes thinking, say, yeah, man, we're done. And then two more change come. Then an exchange come. Then an exchange come. Those are all considered separate changes. It is much better for you to say, all right, let us all meet and let us decide. And then once you decide and you have your long list, you send it to us, that's considered one set of changes. So one out of your two gone. Then you might have another set of changes, because after you get back the video with those changes, you spot some other things or certain things that were working before no longer working. You make your notes and, you know, you send it and we deal with it, right? After the third time of doing that, we're going to say, no, you don't know what you want. So now you have to pay us extra. And same goes for each and every stage, right? Now, clients, I know one of the difficulties that you might have is that you can't get the board to meet. And this is one of the reasons why I say, don't rush. Don't tell me you need this in 2 weeks when you yourself can't commit to 2 weeks. Right, because everything has to be approved. We're not a magic wand that you only say, oh, I need an animation with a boy and a girl playing on the beach. Right? It might take 2 weeks to do it once we know what the idea is and we have the characters designed. But we need time to review the script to make sure the script is exactly what you want. We need time to review the storyboard to make sure that the story visually flows the way you want it to flow. And then we need to do the animation. And we deliberate over the animation a scene at a time, right? So we get it right. That's how it should be done, right? So meet with your team and get all your changes together one time. Don't torrent the changes, you know, little. That's not going to work, right? The next thing is clients that don't want to do a down payment. Now, I rarely run into those. As a creative, I used to just do the project and then, you know, wait for half payment and then continue doing the project and wait for full payment. And I stopped doing that because sometimes you get some clients that them excited now and then later on them sober up because maybe they were at a party and had a brilliant idea after drinking some liquor. And like, oh, yeah, man, we should do this. And then get on the phone right away and they make the call and say, yeah, man, we're going to do this. And then when they sober up, they realize, oh, man, what did I do? Why did I hire this person? We paid them yet? All right, tell them, say, we're not going to bother. And that's what happens a lot. You know, you start to work and then midway you hear, oh, yeah, we're scrapping the project. What? But we just don't already do the work. So my advice, people, this is for you. Your creatives, see, may I give advice to both creatives and clients, is put it in your contract that you need half up front or you need 30% up front, whatever the percentage is, but get some money up front, because sometimes you might all have to hire people and you don't want to hire people and can't pay them, but get some money up front, right? This, in my opinion, gets the clients to commit, right? I've never had a client ask for a refund, and I state that in the contract too, that once you give me that down payment and I start the work, you cannot ask for a refund, right? And I can prove that I've started the work because I will show you something. If the first deliverable is a script and I write the script, you get a script, you know, send me at the work, right? I don't need to move on to the animation phase for you to pay me a down payment, right? I pay the down payment from after I show you, say, yeah, I'm going to work on a script, or yeah, I'm going to work on a character design, or I'm working on a character design. I'm going to send you a sketch. You know, so the work starts, so there's no refund. And that has been working for me, right? That has been working. Now, other things that clients do that I don't like is blame me for their iniquities, right? I've had clients say to you, oh, I want a black car sitting in a parking lot with some buildings around. All right, no problem. You do it. How comes there are no trees? You didn't say there had to be trees. It's a parking lot. You don't have to have trees. Why are the buildings only 2 stories high? You know, I want 5 stories and more. You didn't specify that it was like a, you know, metropolis of sorts. You just said parking lot. And then they come with no, but you must have the common sense to know it. Like, no, we cannot read your mind. Despite the fact that we are magical, we cannot read your mind. So you have to tell us everything, especially when we're doing animation. The things that we're doing don't exist yet. So you have to tell us everything that you need in that shot. You see, if it's video production, it's different. With video production, you get a location and you shoot whatever is there. The client can't say to you, boy, you know, it would have been nice if it had a cell tower, and it doesn't. We can't shoot it. It doesn't exist. But in animation, you can, right? Because you just draw it in. Not saying you can't do it in live action without VFX, but everybody knows that VFX is a different budget, right? The other thing with clients is, and just kind of going back to when you're even onboarding clients, when a client wants you to do work for them and you've never worked for this client before, my strong advice is give them homework. I know you're wondering, give them homework, what do you mean? Basically, give them something to do, right? Give them something to do, and if they do it, it's a very good sign that they're committed. If they don't do it, then that's a bad sign. So what do I mean by that? Let's say a client approaches you and they say, hey, I want you to do an animated public service announcement that speaks to how to teach children with learning disabilities. All right, cool, no problem. And if you say to them, hey, can you send me a list of these learning disabilities along with their descriptions and possibly an animation with a style that you have in mind? You see, if they refuse to do that and they say, you're the creative, you need to do it, red flag, I would not do work with them. And I have experience it, trust me, it's not worth it, right? You have a yeah, them doing their part shows you that they really want this project to get done, right? If you ask for something like a list of learning disorders or disabilities and an example of the type of animation you want, if they go ahead and do that, they are serious, right? That's something that I've found, that they are serious. Now, of course, the down payment is the ultimate sign of seriousness, so don't skip on the down payment, right? And don't start doing the work till the down payment come. That's my opinion. What's the next thing now that annoys me about clients? What's the next thing? I know there is more, you know. I should have wrote this down, but I mean, just out here in the wilderness and say, you know what? Let me just skeet this podcast. But the other thing about clients is taking long to get paid. This one is one of the trickiest ones. Creatives have problems getting paid from their clients because clients, you know, I don't know, when you go to the doctor, you pay them right away. But when it comes to creatives, we have to wait 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 3 months, all manners of things because they have to maintain their cash flow, right? They don't care about our cash flow. So, you know, that is something that is very difficult to get over. And I would say, you know, you should have a lawyer at that point, you know, just on standby in case. But write them a letter explaining to them, say, listen, you know, we agreed that you would pay me on X date. X date has passed, and in fact, I've even given you 2 additional days grace period, just in case you had some payroll issues, but still have not been paid. Just to let you know, and this is something you should put in a contract, that for every day that they're late or every week that they're late, however much time you want to put, there is a X percent penalty. Right? Trust me when I say that will help fix things quick because nobody wants to pay you more than they agreed to pay you. But if it's in contract and they sign that contract, then it's in contract. Right? So think about that strategy. That strategy is not a bad strategy, and it gets you more money in the long run, right? The other thing is just to impress upon them that, hey, you know, this is it's been going 3 weeks now, have not been paid. You know, when should I expect this payment? You know, continuing to talk to them can help. If you want to call a meeting, people are afraid of meetings, so when you say meeting, then we'll get, you know. And then worse, if you say, hey, I've set up a meeting with me, you, and my lawyer so we can just discuss how this payment will be made. Everybody free their lawyer. So yeah, that will definitely work. You know, there's other things that I don't like about clients sometimes, and Anna said this does not apply to all clients, just the health clients, is the clients that creep the scope. So that's another thing that you need to do when you take on a project. Don't just take on a project. Have it in writing what the scope of the project is. One of the reasons why I like to have the script, even though some people don't want to share the script with you until a certain point, one of the reasons that I like to have the script is because I can break it down. And I can say, okay, you have 5 characters, you have X amount of backgrounds, you have this, that. So I am going to cost you for that. And then when they come back and say, oh, we want 2 more characters in it, they say, well, I costed you for 5 characters. You're now bumping it up to 7. That's an additional 2 characters, additional animation. They'll usually pause and go, all right, let's see how we can make this work with the 5 characters. Right? Or they'll agree to pay the money, whichever. I might have to do a part 2A to this because I am sure I'm forgetting some stuff that I dislike about difficult clients. And, you know, we have to learn how to deal with these things. How do we deal with difficult clients? I've had clients that are feisty to me, right? Who I just blacklist them. I have clients who are, I don't want to say slow, but they're not creative, so it's very difficult for them to describe what they want, and that can lead to a lot of frustration, you know. But you just have to be patient and work with them. But the biggest problems usually face is the getting paid problem and the arguments over scope, you know. Oh, but I thought we agreed to have everything in writing so that, you know, here's the thing, good thing about writing, it holds not only the client accountable, but it holds you as the vendor accountable as well. Because let us say they said, oh, I want to add another character. I said, no, you can't add another character unless you're going to pay me. When you look back on the contract says 6 characters, not 5. But you thought it was 5 because we were working with 5 all this time. But then when you look back at the contract, you go, oh, yeah, I did promise 6. So you just have to fulfill it. It's that simple, right? Don't be a bad client. Don't be a bad vendor, right? I hate when clients ghost me, and I hate when clients, you know, them don't answer a call, and I hate when clients don't bring back the full message from the board that they had to consult with. You know, they will come back and say, oh, yeah, man, the board say X, Y, and Z, and yeah, man. But really and truly, it's only one board member them did hear from. When they have 3 other board members that have to chime in. And then those 3 board members chime in next week or the week after, and we've done already gone a road. How are we going backtrack, right? There are many other things that I can say about clients, but we've gone 28 minutes long now. I didn't expect this podcast to be this long. I hope it's not boring. I'm going to listen back to it. Hopefully it's not boring. But if you can think of other things that really annoy you about clients, let me know. And if you even have solutions, let me know. It would be great to hear somebody else's solutions to these problems. All right. Next time, I'm going to talk about how clients can handle annoying creatives. Because creatives, as I said, we are not completely innocent. Right? I've been hearing far too often about vendors, ghosting their clients. I don't want to hear that anymore. Honestly speaking, guys, I don't want to hear that anymore. Every time you ghost a client, it affects another creative. And I will tell you about that next week. Peace out, everybody. Keep the vibe creative.